We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Report. I'm Blair Andrews and my co-host Hassan Rahim. Hassan, how's it going?
Man, you know, it's been a fun day, an interesting day of football. I can't say everything went my way, but you know, there were some really horrific injuries though today. We're still sort of in the early discovery phase, but you know, as Cobra Kai mentions in the chat, it is a moment of silence for Tank Dell. He did suffer, I think, a season-ending fibula injury. There's some other injuries here. It sounds like Kenny Pickett, he went out fairly early in the game, and it sounds like he's going to get an ankle surgery that's going to keep him out for the next 2 to 4 weeks. 4 weeks, that puts it he's potentially going to return in time for any postseason run if the Steelers have any. So you're looking at, I mean, today was just an injury filled day. There's no reason for us to start on a bit of a down note. Let's just start with a good one. Sam Laporta, he got 9 of 9 targets for 140 yards and a score in the Lions' week 13 win against the Saints. Yeah, I mean, the Saints have been, you know, just incapable of finding or defending anyone who is going to attack them via the slot. And today they just sort of had no answer for him. He just sort of became the go-to guy on third down as like Goff just kept going to him. He had like a 41% target share today, and he also got his 6th touchdown of the season. He's probably going to be a top fantasy option next week against the Bears, although, you know, he had 3 catches for 18 yards last week. So Blair, the question for you really is, you know, Cobra Kai beat me to it. Where does he go next year? Like, where do you have Sam Laporta?
That's a good question, because I think that with obviously Kelsey getting older and with Andrews coming off injury, you've got a lot of these other elite tight ends not necessarily performing as we expect. Yeah, Cobra Kai says 2-3 turn. I think that is probably
that
right.
Feels right.
That you could see him going into the second. I mean, is he the tight end 2 in best ball drafts next year?
I think that depends on what the Lions do, right? Like, I guess that really comes down to what happens to Kelsey's price. Like, do you think Andrews overtakes him? Do you think Kelsey drops out of the top 2? Like, that's... I think Kelsey is still going to go TE1, right? But I think it's going to be like, it'll be like Kelsey at like the 209, and then it'd be like, who, right? Is it Andrews at 211 and then Board at 212, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, we're talking like underdog. You think Kelsey,
yeah, because FFPC, he's probably a 1-2 turn pick, right? Like,
right. Right. So I think the obvious thing with Kelsey is just the age that I think might scare people off. But in terms of his performance, he's been playing well. Hockenson is another guy to think about possibly in that same range.
I think the thing with Hockenson, at least my concern, at least with Hockenson, is that right now we're sort of seeing the best of, well, not necessarily the best, or like the positive, like the best upside, but like realistically, no Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison as a rookie means that Hockenson pretty much is going to choke up a ton of that, right? So mm-hmm. I think if Kirk Cousins comes back, he's still going to be contending with Justin Jefferson, and then also potentially a surging Jordan Addison, and potentially someone who they add. They're going to add a running back, right? Whether it's through the draft, but like again, like with Hockenson, like I think it becomes like a big tiering question, right? Of like where these guys are going to go, and like, and that's really like to me like the fun intellectual exercise, because like, you know, like we're just trying to pick D names out of a hat right now, right? Like, I think the big question is, like, Mark Andrews earlier than Laporta, yes, right? So then the question is who goes after that, right? Right? Like, yeah. Like assuming they don't trade away or they don't add someone, like the Lions add someone via the draft, right? Like a wide receiver. So where do you expect Laporta to go? Right, like that's the question.
Yeah, I mean, I think that. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to speculate, really, but considering what Laporte has done in his rookie year, you expect number one for him to possibly even get more opportunity, if that's even possible. I mean, he had 9 targets today, led the team, so maybe he's already kind of at the upper limit in terms of opportunity. But you don't see tight ends, you don't see rookie tight ends have the kind of season he is having that often. And you know, the last one you can think of really who was like this is maybe what, Evan Ingram.
Kittle was
really good as a rookie, but not like this, I don't think.
No, Ingram also was, if I think back to that, he also kind of became the de facto slot/X, if I'm remembering correctly, right? Like the Giants didn't have a suitable like running mate. He like what makes the Porta interesting is he's doing this despite having Amon-Ra St. Brown and then also a phenomenal pass catching back in Gibbs next to him.
Yeah.
Right.
I think when you get down to like Laporta versus Andrews, there are a lot of questions about Andrews, because not only is he going to be coming off ankle injury that I mean, I'm expecting he'll be back for the playoffs. I don't know what the latest news is on.
They said deep playoff run, dude. Like that's like bad.
Yeah, I mean, if they're making a playoff run, I bet he'll try to play. But even so, I mean, there's questions there because of the injury, and also because even before he was injured, he was not being targeted the same as we have seen in a lot of past seasons. Right, he had been underperforming a bit. So I think you see Laporta go ahead of Andrews next year. I think
You
probably don't see anyone going between Kelsey and Laporta. And even that,
do you think they go back to back?
Well, I don't know about back to back. I mean, possibly. I mean, yeah, in Dynasty, like Laporta's already the tight end one, right?
Yeah. David Philippi makes a really good point. He just drafted Laporta the TU1 in round 3 for DLF mock. Round three is
like that's later than I would think he would go. So that seems like a steal.
Actually, I don't know how Cobra Kai got our show sheet, because he was talking about getting Trey McBride some love, but he's literally the next guy on the sheet. He got 8 of his 9 targets for 89 yards and a score in the Cardinals' Week 13 win over the Steelers. You know, the TE1 train for him also continues to roll. He had Kyler Murray has been going McBride's way the whole time. He is his number one target, right? As Hollywood Brown is dealing with a heel injury. Here's another guy who's probably going to, you know, be top 5 going forward. So where does McBride go next year? Right. Like, I think that's probably a better way to think about this is like, goes twofold a little bit, right? Like, do you go Laporta, and then where does McBride? Because in my head, I had McBride as like at the 5-6 term. But I wanted to get your take there.
Yeah, that seems about right. Kind of where Pitts was going this last offseason, maybe. Although I guess the difference is that we've seen Pitts do a lot more in the NFL. We're not seen McBride do a lot more in the NFL so far than Pitts. Yeah, I think the only thing, like, he had a game similar to Laporta in a lot of ways, not as many yards, but same kind of opportunity, same, you know, team leading target share. The only thing that probably keeps him out of that top tier is that he doesn't have quite the track record of doing it all season, right? It's kind of been a recent thing for him. Yeah. Although he's had several other good games going back
Could you pull up the player status score? I'd be interested in seeing that. He's done this, but like several other, like with another quarterback under center, Josh Dobbs, and then, but like the dirty little undertone here is that like Hollywood Brown has been dealing with some kind of injury the whole season. The team really didn't want to sunset Ertz at the start, right? And then it took Michael Wilson and a couple of other guys getting hurt. Right? Yeah, there you go. Like, you have 5 weeks of, we drafted Trey McBride on our FFPC ME team. We kept him for a couple of weeks, and we dropped him. We dropped him in, like, those fallow weeks, and he's, like, could we have used him? Yeah.
We probably dropped him in week six or something, right?
I think we dropped him like week three or four. Yeah. Like we drafted him and then we dropped him. Right. Could we use those points? Yeah, we could.
Right? Well, we also have Laporta on that team, so it's debatable.
Yeah, we do. We can't cash in.
You can't wait forever on these kind of shallow leagues.
Yeah, so, yeah, Shepard makes a good point saying he looks like Higby in 20 or 21, right? So what makes it so interesting to me is, or at least what worries me a little bit is the Cardinals have a bunch of early picks, right? Like, will they move on from Kyler Murray as one to get an O-line? Yeah. But then will they draft more weapons coming out? Right, that's kind of my fear, is that he might actually, like, McBride might face some kind of squeeze to where he could potentially, like, at 5-6, you know, right now I'd feel pretty happy, but like if they add two rookies, right, like with early draft capital, like round two, round three capital, then I get a little nervous, but I think I'm still going to be taking him at market price, if that makes sense.
I think that's right. Where, I guess, is the kind of upper limit on market price for you in terms of McBride's? I mean, considering what he's done the last 5 weeks, like, you think of a guy like Amon-Ra, who came on at the end of the season in his rookie year, who, different position, obviously, but the next season he was, I want to say, a fourth round, like early fourth round pick.
Yeah, he was an early fourth. And that was still way too low.
Position that, you know, like, tight end, in a way, you could see McBride going even earlier just because of how bad the position is elsewhere.
Dude, it's such a way. I mean, calling it a wasteland is something else. It gives you such a positional advantage if you can get that spot right, whether it's late or whether it's early, whether it's mid, right? Like, you need to know how to structure your rosters around that pick right now.
Right. So, are you taking McBride in the mid third?
No.
Yeah.
There's just so much. I mean, because do you actually mind pulling up Tyler Higbee's? Because this is interesting. It looks like, Tyler Higbee's 2021 season. That's it.
Yeah.
It looks a lot like that, right? Like, and those, the.
I guess, except for a lot less sustained wide receiver one or tight end one performance. That was it's the underdog scoring, but still. Yeah, I mean, the one thing is that you see, 10 expected points per game. I think you see, you have McBride at these, like, almost 30% target share marks.
Yeah, but they've also got nowhere else to throw the ball, right? Like, today, Marquise Brown, I'm going to pull up his stats because I don't think he did. He got like a zero, put up straight up zero. Right. Today's game itself was really weird. So there was a couple of pretty bad inclement weather systems. We had hail. We had like crazy thunderstorms. But like if you're going through this, Marquise Brown, 3 targets, no catches, right? Rondale Moore, 2 targets, 1 catch. Josh Swaim, 2 targets, 1 catch, right? Like Greg Dortch, 3 targets, 1 catch. It really was a low flow, 23 attempts kind of game. And even the Steelers lost Pickett early, right? And so like they didn't really feel the need to press. And James Conner kind of got it done on the ground. 25 carries, 105 yards, 2 scores, right? So
right.
Not much to be said. Although I will say the one interesting thing, I think Amari DiMercato got hurt and Michael Carter was running ahead of him anyway, and he looked pretty explosive. So I think dynasty, redraft, anything, just try and get Michael Carter on your squad this week because he might be pretty big down the stretch. So I think it's worth thinking about, especially if you're dealing with an injury at the position like we are with Ramondre Stevenson. His ankle x-rays were negative. He's going to go for more testing. He limped off really early. The upcoming MRI is expected to reveal a sprain, but it's probably a season ender in my opinion, right? The Pats are 2-10. They've got nothing to play for. He's definitely going to miss this Thursday against the Steelers. And I mean, at that point, why bother, right?
Right.
So that Brian locks Ezekiel Elliott in as a bell cow, but what's the upside there?
Yeah, right. Bell cow on a team that's more or less given up.
Yeah, but before
we've been efficient in many years.
Yeah, but before we move on to that, the reason I'm bringing that up or why I brought up Michael Carter is because he could be a viable fill-in, just because there's not that many people left on waivers at this late in the season. But to go back to the Trey McBride discussion and right. Sort of let's just bring in some other tight ends, right? Where do you rank him in where would he be a top 6 tight end for you next year?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
I think so. I'm trying to think of who else is possibly going to get there. Hockenson, we've discussed, is kind of in that range. I think Kittle is definitely in that range.
Pitts, that's a
probably
question,
right? Want to drop out. I mean, as much as I hate to say it, unless there's a coaching change in Atlanta, you have to drop Pitts a little bit lower.
I think Pitts is probably the TE8.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
I just don't know who is going to go to East. Yeah, there it is. Jake Ferguson is probably going to be in the top 7 next year.
Oh, man. Yeah, he could. That's right. Yeah, but I definitely would feel comfortable with McBride up in that tier. I mean, yeah, he did. There's not much else to throw to on Arizona, but I mean, he's been doing this for a while. 9 targets this week, 9 last week, 7, 9, 5, 14. I mean, he's been a target hog for basically the last 6 weeks. So I think.
Yeah, I mean, so here's the question. Would you take McBride earlier than Hockenson next year?
I would.
I think I would. I think I'd take him earlier than both Kittle and Hockenson, right?
I think I would. If you assume that, say, the Cardinals draft Marvin Harrison Jr., that hurts guys like Marquise.
That hurts
Brown
way more than Greg Dortch. Greg Dortch.
Oh man, nah, Dortch is gonna get his.
Dortch is gonna get his. That's right. He's gonna get his. He's gonna get his random spike weeks. Pull up his 20 last year's season because it's just wild, man. He really emerged as So pull up his 2022 season. I'm telling you, man. That's right.
Coming in off the street doing nothing, and then boom.
Yeah, that's right.
Nah, I don't know.
You can only keep the Ferrari sideline for that long, baby.
That's right.
So that's the
underperforming a little bit this year.
I know, right? But that's kind of the issue, right? Is that the card? Well, not necessarily the issue, but that's sort of the opportunity, right? The receiving core in Arizona right now is so barren, and even if you add Marvin Harrison Jr., you can't just expect McBride to go away. Right, they also released Ertz, which is a big deal.
Right,
right. We always knew they had this faith, right? But
if anything, you could see how adding another elite receiver like Harrison helps McBride because it makes it much more likely that he is getting looks near the goal line.
Yeah, they're not going to be like one dimensional, right?
Even
like,
if he has
not a one dimensional offense.
Even if he has a small drop off in terms of opportunity, you can make up for that with efficiency in a good offense, especially a tight end.
Yeah, and but like the thing is that like Kyler's not really doing much. He's like, frankly, he's looked terrible throwing the football. Like he's looked really bad. His fantasy value is primarily coming from his legs, which is pretty impressive considering the fact that he's coming off an ACL tear, right? So like there's a lot of there's a pretty big positive expectation gap to where we can actually, you know, we can expect. So like I guess it goes back to the question of if we're thinking Laporte is a 2-3 turn, then McBride at 5-6 is that seems a little too low? Just right.
That's what I'm thinking. Like I think if McBride is going there, I think that he could be my highest owned player. I suspect he'll be more like a fourth rounder, if I had to guess.
Oh God. Yeah, that's the hard part, right? Because like I don't think he's gonna open as a fourth rounder, right? I think he's going to end as a fourth rounder. I don't think he opens as a fourth rounder.
Yeah.
Right? Like I can still see people gravitating towards Hawkinson, right? Like, and that's the thing is that I take that back, right? Because Hawkinson's like his next season early ADP is about to be determined by this finish that's coming up, right? Because Justin Jefferson returns next week, then it's Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, and never mind the fact that the Pastrnak is under center, right? And I think that is what's going to be like driving some of this, right? Like he's still a viable tight end one, right? But that doesn't say much about the position, right? Yeah. Like, because that's where he's been all year. He was drafted as one. But he was drafted the third tight end off the board, I believe, if I'm remembering this.
Yeah, I think that's right. Right after Andrews.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Hawkinson has definitely been good this year. You do wonder how much of that was related to his...
But it's a lot. A lot of that is coming from the fact that, I mean...
That Jefferson's gone on the field, right?
Yeah, so I mean, that's... You can see literally where Justin Jefferson stepped off, right?
Yeah, I think. I'm assuming it's in week 7.
Yeah, is that October 8th? Is that versus the Chiefs?
Jefferson did not play in week 6, so... Go back to Hawkinson. You see this spike in expected points basically the week after Jefferson went out. And really, in terms
It's not like a spike. It's like a 2x expected points.
Yeah, right.
Right? Like,
he has been efficient in that span, too. Like, he's been pretty good. But definitely, you expect those targets to come down. I mean, he's leading the league and targets for tight ends. I mean, at least going into this week.
We are fast approaching the holiday season. We're always looking for the perfect gifts for those near and dear to us, our families and friends. And what could be better than a ticket to a live event? We're heading towards the crucial weeks of the NFL season, and there's so much sports going on, but there's also concerts, comedy, theater, so many other things that you can go and get a ticket to this time of year. Can be stressful looking for tickets, getting the best price, the best seats, trying to figure everything out to have the best experience. But it doesn't have to be like that, because buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is a fast and easy way to get tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for all the fun you will have. They have exclusive flash deals. They have the Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find a ticket in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Buying tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps on their app and you're set. So whether it's for a gift or whether it's just to treat yourself this holiday season, snag tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code ROTOVIZ for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code ROTOVIZ for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Yeah, again, Cobra Kai seems to be like, I think he might have written the show sheet, not me, because he is talking about Nico Collins, who is literally the next guy on our sheet. He caught 9 of 12 targets for 191 yards and a score today. He had a massive day. As the aforementioned Tank Dell exited early. He made, you know, these circus catches, man. Like, you know, he averaged over 21 yards per reception. He also had the only receiving touchdown today. He was like basically destroying like the Broncos if you didn't watch that game. That, you know, with Tank Dell pretty much gone, how worried are you that defenses will be keying in on Nico Collins? And, you know, where do you think he's going to actually be drafted next year?
It's a good question. I'm not that worried about teams kind of keying in on Collins. I think, you know, you saw that he was able to get, you know, to get it done today, even without Tank Dell and with Noah Brown doing nothing, only drawing two targets and getting no yards. I know Brown came in questionable. I don't know if he played the whole game or all the snaps or something, but so yeah, Nico Collins has definitely shown that he doesn't really need, doesn't need Tank Dell opposite to be able to be productive, at least against Denver. The Broncos are not, for most of the season, they haven't been good, although they've looked better recently. So I don't think they're necessarily the easiest matchup. But man, in terms of next season, Collins is a tough one to figure out because he has these huge spike weeks like this week and other weeks. And then the rest of the time, as you can kind of see here, wide receiver three, over half of his games. You know, that's fine if you're averaging, well, I mean, he's averaging 16 points a game, which is not bad, but well, it's good actually, but
you know, well, I mean, he's not really like, he's fantastic for basketball because that's what you want, right? Like, this isn't what you'd get in like managed redraft.
Yeah, right?
like that's like the
It might be what you want in best ball. I have some questions about that.
Oh my god, I just realized that I forgot to play Christian Watson, because I was just gonna say, I was like, oh, I wonder if I started Christian Watson in a bunch of places. I forgot to do that. Sorry, Dubs. But I was gonna say that profile looks very much like a Christian Watson profile, right?
I guess that's right.
And that's where I think he would be going, is where Christian Watson was going this year. Bryce Ridley in the chat says, I got some questions.
Okay. Yeah, Watson was what, a fourth rounder?
Yeah, he was like solidly in the fourth round, right? Like solidly in the fourth round.
Yeah, and it really does look like a pretty similar profile in terms of having some spike weeks surrounded by nothing. It's kind of the Will Fuller profile, which, you know, Will Fuller in the past has had a best ball win rate that exceeds what you would expect given his...
He was also like going in the eighth routinely because he had like the injury prone label. We really need to bring injury prone analysis back into fantasy sports and get rid of the hyper, like looking into, you know, splits versus zone and man and stuff. Like, we just got to go back to like back when people didn't know much, because it's really frustrating right now. Like,
back when you didn't know much, you knew not to draft guys like, I don't even know who. You knew not to draft.
We knew not to draft Devin Funchess, baby. We knew not to draft Devin Funch. That's the kind of polls that we're at. Like, right? Like, we're dropping viewers like crazy right now, but it's fine. What I was gonna say was that with, you know, with Nico, it's like he's probably like, I don't know, like you could potentially pencil him in as the wide receiver one, right? But like, Tank Dell has looked awesome, and he is going to be back. You know what I mean? Like, he is going to be back. So for that, that's why I'd like say, like with Nico, you'd want to take him in the fourth round, especially in best ball, because just because you're getting, I mean, it'll be very hard for people to not wildly draft the Texans next year, right? But then the issue is you also don't want to be out over your skis in the event of some kind of snapback in terms of the strap.
Sure. Yeah, the Texans are definitely looking like a team that's going to end up being overdrafted in terms of, you know, like where in terms of like total team value. In the fourth, I'm probably out on Nico Collins. Tank Dell obviously doing this as a rookie. As good as he's looked, I think it's going to be hard to really have Nico ahead of him next year if we get signal that Dell is fully healthy. So that's a tricky situation, but I definitely will want to be in on some parts of that offense, and maybe the best way to play it is to, unless CJ Stroud is like a fourth rounder as well, then I think
he probably will be.
He might be the way to play it.
Yeah, another good point here by Shitfit. I bet the Texans will go after T.R. Ayuk. Yeah, I think the Texans might consider going after one of these guys. Yeah. I definitely would think that they'd be in on some of these bigger name wide receivers who are going to be free agents. But here's another guy who's 2024 value. I'd love to get your thoughts on Devon Achane. He rushed 17 times for 73 yards and 2 scores today in their win over the Commanders. He also caught 3 balls for 30 additional yards. He worked in a split with Raheem Mostert for most of the day, but like as the game sort of was coming, like as the game was pretty much decided, the Finns pretty much leaned on him down the stretch, right? He wound up leading the Finns in rush attempts and yards. He looked explosive and averaged 5.2 yards per touch. So, you know, a lot of people were like, exercising a little bit of caution with Achane because they didn't know what to expect, you know, if he's going to re-aggravate something. Kind of want to get your take on him. Where is he drafted next year, man?
Yeah, man, he's a tough one too. I think given what he did earlier in the season, if you could expect something approaching that, it wouldn't be crazy to have him in the first round.
Yeah, I mean that like his early. Can you pull up his early season like first?
It's kind of comical, the fantasy stats, and there's also something wrong with this part of the chart with the detail. I think because
there's not enough info.
Well, right? I think it's because he changed his name, right? So these stats are pulled from somewhere else that has the wrong name. So we'll have to fix that, but. But yeah, it's obviously we don't have today's game in, but it is pretty funny to see, you know, 1.9, 1.5, and then these three crazy games. You know, like, I mean, I don't think that these three games are like a baseline necessarily. I don't think we should think of them as that. But I mean, you know, today is probably even a little bit above what you would expect him to do with the two touchdowns. But I mean, even a stat line like this with one touchdown instead would be something that I think you would be fine with in the first round. I think his size obviously makes him makes it a little bit harder to get him into the first round. Maybe you'd also expect some regression for the offense as a whole, but I think that's kind of a minor concern. So yeah, if he keeps up performances close to these, I think, you know, having him in the late first is not crazy, and I might be okay drafting him there. I don't think I don't think it's like a Tony Pollard situation where he goes up and becomes kind of undraftable at a first round price. I think A-Chain looks like he has the upside to have an RB1 overall season. Am I crazy about that?
Where do you take Mostert then?
I mean, Mostert, geez, he's gonna be what, 32?
Yeah, but I don't think it's going away, man. Like we discussed this a few weeks ago, but they're only gonna keep him, they only have to pay $2 million to keep him.
Yeah.
Right? And he's been really good.
Yeah, he has. That's true. Oh man.
That becomes the issue, right? And then they've wanted to make either Jeff Wilson or Salvon Ahmed work. But like the issue there is that you can't just like you can't just you can't just say like I'm not gonna have no Achan, right? Like especially like you just like you're just gonna have to eat it. Like you're just gonna have to eat the price, right? Like I think next year you're just gonna have to decide are you gonna be market price like overweight, you're even weight or underweight at market. Because I think the Finns are all going to go like first three rounds, right? Like Hill first round, Achan potentially the 1-2, and then Waddle somewhere like the 2-3, right?
Yeah.
Like, I just think the way your draft slot will pan out is how this is your exposure is going to is going to pay out, right? Like, I think that that's the issue. I think that that is. It's just kind of like what Mike Beers always preaches, right? Like you can't just make a stand on some of these guys because you don't know how the rooms are going to react or how your ADP shakes out. You just are going to be stuck.
Right, right. The Dolphins are another tricky team because they've played so well this year that it's hard to think about moving many of their guys down. I think, Waddle at the 2-3, given what
he's I think he's actually
a little bit rich, but he probably has like the mid third.
I think he's mid third, dude.
Cachet to stick at that price, so I don't think it's crazy to have him there.
Yeah, but like here's the thing, I think Waddle and Devonta Smith, like all of these guys, kind of drift downwards, right? Like they were going what like early second, mid second, and I think they just go down around, right? Like, do you think the public is going to be drafting someone like Michael Pittman earlier than these guys, even though they potentially should, given that, you know, Pittman's been really, really good and Richardson's going to be back. And I think that Pittman's going to be like, yeah, exactly. See, but look at your face. you don't want any Michael Pittman. And I think I've come around on him, which sucks.
I'm drafting Josh Downs ahead of Pittman.
Well, yeah, but like...
No, I hear what you're saying. The industry does seem down on Pittman, and I can understand why, but he has played well this year, so maybe it's unfair to him to have him that.
But like the thing with Pittman is that he's like the classic example of projection, right? Like he's the classic example of projection. And I think that like that's like where it comes down to your draft philosophy a little bit, right? Like we don't typically chase those guys, but I like if you're someone who goes by that, then you're like, well, I want another team's RB, like wide receiver one ahead of these wide receiver twos, like the Waddles and the Smiths. Although, you know, Waddle and Smith have been, I mean, Waddle's been more disappointing than Devonta Smith, right? Like Devonta Smith has stayed hot, right? Like he got 9 of 11 targets for 96 yards and a score in the Eagles' week 13 loss. He hauled in a 2-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter. he's found the end zone in back-to-back weeks and four times in the last five games, right? He finished second only to AJ Brown today. Like, frankly, Smith has caught 22 passes for 301 yards and two scores in the last three games and averaged nine targets per game. But this is the thing with Devonta Smith. He always goes off when Dallas Goedert isn't in the lineup, right? Which sounds like it's like really basic analysis, but if you pull up his on-off splits, it's pretty true, right? He's a fringe wide receiver one probably next week, and if the game with the Cowboys is based up, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of where philosophically we're gonna have to think a little bit on this, right? Because with Pittman, you're going towards a guy who potentially pencils in for like what, a 26, 22, 28% target share, right? Then yeah. You have your Josh Downs and then your Alec Pierce's, and then JT's gonna get his, right? And like with Anthony Richardson, a guy who's still a bit of a black box for us, do you run with that? Like what is his yard? Like how do you project that out? Yeah. Right. And I think that's where it gets a little difficult. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the difference for me does come down. Maybe you can say it's talent, but it might be team quality. I mean, you look at Devontae Smith, 37.8 FPOE last season, 35.4 this season. You look at Pittman and he was negative both seasons. He's negative this year. Obviously some of that is the difference between playing for the Eagles with Jalen Hurts and playing for the Colts with Minshew. And that explains some of it, but I still think you have a difference in terms of talent that at least pushes me more in the direction of guys like
Smith and but like, I think that's how the public is also going to be drafting, right? I think that there's been like a flippening in how people view this stuff. So I think that that's where you're going to get Devonta Smith and Waddle like probably just floating down around, right? And then that's where you have to make your stand on Achan, right? Like, do you take him where he's supposed to be? Like, he's going to be like, his price is going to be all over the, like, the issue with HN, I think, is if the Finns go out and draft a big back early in the draft, and you could see them potentially doing that, right? Because they can't get anything out of Jeff Wilson, they can't get anything out of Salvon Ahmed. Mostert is old. I don't know how much they really want to run him out, right? And then that in itself would probably crater HN, but I don't necessarily see HN as losing his job. I see him more so as a compliment, right? So I can see them probably taking a round three guy, which is still early for a running back, right?
Yeah, man, that sounds crazy for the Dolphins to draft a round three running back, but I guess they might do something crazy like that. At what price do you think that you're out on Achan?
I don't think you can be. I think you just have to figure out like how much you want of him, and then you just have to swallow the ADP. Like, you just have to swallow market price.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we can reliably set them like this year. I saw people saying Achan is the RB5, and I'm like, all right, 15th round Achan it is. All right, 16th round Achan it is. Right. And I'm not going to be able to cash in on a lot of those teams, unfortunately, because HN didn't play for much this season. But had he actually played for most of the year, you know, I'm here popping bottles, right?
Yeah.
I'm legitimately, you know, taking, Schiffitz is right. He's Sean's going to have us taking a 106. He probably will. That's kind of my issue, right? Is that like,
I mean, right think now about, I'm sitting. Think about who you can have. It's not that hard to make a case. I mean, you consider Ja'Marr Chase has not played well. Burrow's hurt. Jefferson coming off injury. Those guys you might want to move down just because of the question marks there. Then you have McCaffrey and
MC goes 101, right? Then you get Bijan 102.
Bijan maybe, but if Arthur Smith is still there, maybe you have Achan ahead of Bijan.
I don't think you can have Achan ahead of Bijan, but like. I think you can make a case for Achan keeps like,
playing like this, he could outscore Bijan this year.
Dude, yeah, he might. Yeah, and that's the crazy thought, right?
Achan might be the 102.
Achan might be the 102. Well, where did that leave Gibbs?
Yeah, 103.
Yeah, 103, right? That's the issue, right? Like, I think the thing I'm getting the most pain out of is is being right on HN at like 38%. No, yeah, 38%. I'm just like trying to think. Yeah, like it's, I have so many dead underdog teams with him on them, and I'm just trust the process, baby. So I've got like a ton. Like most of these teams are dead, right? And that's the kind of thing is like these teams are dead. They're not coming back. And it sucks that I can't cash in on this, right? I can't cash in on being that HN backstop guy in all the drafts. And it just so happened that I just like eventually he just became cheaper than Kendra Miller for a bit. And I was like, all right, I'm all in. Like, that's just like, I just cannot let this slide.
Right.
But yeah, so I mean, so that's kind of the hard, like that's like the hard one. And I wanted to actually keep discussing some other guys who we want to like start touching on. So we should start running through them. Puka Nacua, another guy, caught 4 of 7 targets, 104.5 yards and a score. He also added 2 carries, 34 yards on the ground. Right, the game began like he was insane in the first quarter. Like he had like almost all of his receiving stats in the first quarter. He had a 70-yard seam route. He just like outran whoever the Brown safety was for a TD. Nacua, is over 1,000 receiving yards on the year. He's the first Rams rookie to ever reach this milestone. Right, like it looked like Nacua suffered this massive shoulder injury. He was able to finish and return the game. Right. And he rattled off 2 long runs, like a 31 yarder and a 45 yarder. One was actually called back on like a holding call. He's probably good to go next week against the Ravens. Mm-hmm. So like, where are you drafting this guy? Right. Like Cooper Kupp is looking kind of, it's sad, but like Kupp is looking a little washed. Right. Like he's still very good, but like Nacua is really, really, really running. Oh man, yeah, Evan makes a really good point. He might be priced similar to ARSP in year 2. So considering that, like that's what, like early 4th? How, like, oh my God. I'm going to have so much Puka Nacua next year at that price.
Do you draft Nacua ahead of Kupp next year?
Yes, I'm doing it.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Look, because it almost feels like Nacua is now the new Kupp, right? And Kupp is now the new Woods. And remember last year, like, I think really what's going to happen is when drafts happen, they're going to go back to back. Bam, bam. Actually, I don't know. Because if Evan is saying if Puka is going to be priced similar to ARSP in year 2, that means Kupp is probably like a 1-2 turn guy, maybe even early second guy. So you still got that buffer. So I don't think they're going to go back to back with that Woods Kupp dynamic. But I think that's going to be the dynamic that exists.
I don't necessarily see Kupp going much past like 206 or something.
But that's the thing.
But I also think that Puka could get into the second round. So I don't think that's crazy.
I mean, I don't know. Evan, I just wanted to ask you, like, I'm going to talk to you here. Do you think that the drafting populace is a lot sharper than they were when they were letting ERSB go? Or is it just that much more opportunity cost at from player selection there?
I think definitely that people have gotten, I don't necessarily want to say sharper, but I definitely want to say probably in part because of ARSB and other guys.
Yeah, there's been
more willing to move guys way up the board to draft guys early because of a rookie breakout, because of
Everyone's got on to this season, right? Because when ARSB was going where he was, the third year breakout was still the prevailing narrative, and it's crazy because that was not that long ago. Like, it was a couple of seasons ago. Yeah, exactly.
I think that's
right. Evan. He said people now understand that betting on young players that flash early is a correct move, and historical anomalies, he says, that people are sharper in terms of taking wide receivers. I think both of this is correct. I think this is where we're struggling, is because people aren't afraid of drafting rookie wide receivers. Like, I've been playing this so long that I remember when people were scared of drafting AJ Brown because of Corey Davis and Adam Humphries. All right? Right? Like, I remember those days. Like, I still remember those conversations. I remember those conversations as if it was yesterday.
I remember when Josh Gordon had like 800 yards in his rookie season, and he was still like a ninth round pick going into year two. And now, I mean, a rookie does that in his rookie year.
Yeah.
We're talking third round.
Right. And that's like the thing is that we need like it's and like the thing is that there's been a lot of turnover at the wide receiver position. Right. So it's almost like the game is figuring out who the undervalued veterans are. But like this is a discussion about Puka. I do think Puka will open where you said he would, Evan, in that he will be that fourth round pick. And I think that's where we are going to have to just make a conscious decision. Look, we have one of two things to do as a community, right? Either we're all going to decide, all right, we're not going to go on Twitter and try and blow up his price. We're going to try and depress his price, keep him at this fourth round ADP as much as possible. Or we're just going to make a decision that, all right, we're all in and we're going to like force this like efficiency to occur. Right. I kind of prefer the former where we're just sort of not letting everybody in on the secret. Right. Like you see Cooper Kupp go and then you're like, oh, I'm going to chill and wait for another couple of rounds and then I'm just going to take my Puka and be out. Right. And I think that this is where we're looking at. On the flip side, yeah, Kyren has been, you know, right. So like Kyren has been lights out as well. Right. Like Kyren Williams has played pretty well. Do you think the Rams would go after a running back? I think they might. We've had this discussion with Connor, but
I think they might too. I mean, Kyren obviously has looked great. You do see a lot of times where these running backs who play well, because their team didn't invest a lot to get them, they don't necessarily think of them as like a long-term solution. So I think you have a couple factors, of course, being, you know, yeah. Kyren already was hurt this year. Running backs have shorter careers anyway. You want to always be ready for to replace the guy because you don't want to have to do it after he already is, you know, bad or hurt. So it wouldn't surprise me to see the Rams draft another guy. You know, I'm thinking of like you have guys who are undrafted or seventh round picks or something like Philip Lindsay who play well and then their teams go and draft someone over them anyway. Kyren's probably played better than Lindsay did. So maybe he has some additional kind of staying power. He was also drafted, I want to say. Was he a sixth or seventh rounder? There's a little more of an investment into him, but still, yeah, I don't think it's out of the question for the Rams to take a guy in like the third or fourth round.
Yeah.
Second round, they certainly need the help.
Yeah, they certainly need the help. I'm going to switch gears up on what I discussed earlier, what I said earlier about undervalued veterans. Deebo Samuel, he got 4 of 4 targets for 116 yards and 2 scores in the Niners' this week 13 win over the Eagles. He also had 3 carries for 22 yards and a score. This is pretty much the best of his season. Of course, it comes after you and I with our Deebo Samuel team are eliminated from the FTC. he took short passes for long gains on his ways to scores from like about 50 yards out both times, right? He also had an untouched carry for the end zone. He's unfortunately only totaled 232 yards from scrimmage and 3 touchdowns and 17 touches. Oh, well, no, that's over his last 2 games. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong stat. So he's probably going to look to continue running hot, but this is a guy who was going in the mid fourth all year, right? He was going earlier than Ayuk, which was, you know, in hindsight, just a bad, bad pick, right? So what are we like, where do you think he goes next year? And how much of him do you think you might have?
I'm probably going to have quite a bit because I expect he'll be the cheaper of the
Two, right?
Of the two.
Of the three, really, with Kittle as well.
Yeah, right. I mean, even today, Kittle and Ayuk both out-targeted him. So you have those forces, you know, people who are only looking at the targets, looking at the opportunity, who are saying Samuel is at best the third option in this offense. And then you also have the fact that Ayuk has looked really good this season. And before this game, I don't actually have the scores handy, but maybe has been scoring better than him.
Last week, I think Ayuk went had more PPR points.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. I think Ayuk is outplaying him on the season. on a season
like this. Yeah. Easily.
So in terms of that, I think you probably, like, maybe you just see them flipped from where they were.
I think he goes cheaper, dude. I think he's cheaper because there's going to be younger guys going earlier now, right?
You think Samuel is cheaper than Ayuk was, like,
later? Not just cheaper. I think Debo is going to be a seventh round guy.
Wow.
Okay. Which sounds crazy to say, but, like, we've just discussed a handful of young guys who are going to be going earlier, and all that's going to do is push prices down. Right, like Debo is going to be one of the guys who ended up going. I mean, you need to pull up his like stat page, because historically, he's a bust, right? Like, because the way, yeah, everyone is saying they have 100% Debo in the seventh round. Yeah. I agree, but I think that's where he's going to go, right? Because this is what you're kind of looking at, right?
Yeah, and then I mean, today obviously you have the it's going to be like his best game of the season, which is not in there yet.
Yeah, it's not in there yet. But I really think that with all the young guys who are going to be getting pushed up, this is a guy who's going to get, he just has to get pushed down, right? Because there are a bunch of running backs who are going to go, and then there's going to be a bunch of other guys that you want to start taking in those ranges, like Marvin Harrison Jr. and all these other guys, right? Like, I really think Debo is going to be a veteran who gets pushed down.
I can see that, I think. But I think there are also a lot of guys who were going in that range who are going to drop out, like, entirely.
Yeah, it's a good question from Evan. How would he drop 3 to 4 rounds? The only way I'm saying he drops that far is because we're just going to see a lot of guys who are going after him get pushed up, right? Like I'm saying that there's going to be, like, a pretty big shift to where you see him going higher or earlier than a lot. Like, it's not so much as he's going to be dropping. It's more so that there's going to be a lot of people taking other guys earlier. But yeah, maybe seventh is a little aggressive on my side. But, like, again, Ayuk was I can't remember. Was he, like, mid-fifth by the end of it? Or was he, like, the fifth, sixth?
Cause,
like,
yeah, Ayuk was a fifth rounder. And yeah. Samuel was late third, early fourth. So I think having them switch, even if you flip them, maybe you even see Ayuk going a little bit earlier than where Debo was last off
season. Yeah, but then where do you take Kittle then, right? Like, was Kittle like a fourth rounder then?
Man, Kittle was available in the fifth round in a lot of drafts.
Right, yeah.
Even in FFPC.
He was going earlier than Ayuk too.
Yeah, at least in FFPC, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, even in everywhere, right? So it's... David thinks that's Kittle, the one who goes in the seventh. That might actually be an interesting call.
I think that probably makes some sense. Kittle did, I mean, well, he looked pretty good today. 6 targets, 68 yards is fine for a tight end, you know. But, yeah, more like a seventh round tight end than a third or fourth round tight end. I think we might have the same situation as we do almost every year with the 49ers, is that they all look like they're fair prices, but when you think about how they all get there, then it's, you know, when you think about actually projecting them, then they all look too expensive.
Yeah, that's kind of the, but you still need a baseline, right? Like, I think this was actually kind of a fair question. Was Rashi or Debo, right? Rashi Rice or Debo, if they're both in the fifth.
If they're both in the fifth,
I'd probably be leaning Debo, if only because Rashi still has a lot to prove.
But yeah, I think that's probably where I'd go too. We've seen Debo put up these 300-point seasons before, whereas Rice is not necessarily a proven thing yet. So there's a lot of risk and not necessarily more upside. So I think Debo is just kind of the rational choice there.
Yeah, and I mean Rice just got tackled, I think, on the 1 yard line, and then Pacheco took it in for a touchdown. So you know, I mean, it's good that he is emerging as a viable option, but he is definitely gonna be pretty pricey next year. There's like no way around that one. All right, here's another guy, unsexy veteran, Elijah Moore. He caught 4 of 12 targets for 83 yards in the Browns' Week 13 loss to the Rams. You know, Moore and the Browns' current quarterback, I can't believe I'm saying this, Joe Flacco, spent time together with the Jets last year. It didn't really matter, though, because, like, it wasn't until Amari Cooper was out for the game did Elijah Moore really come on, right?
Mm, yeah.
Like, he became his key target. He saw 9 targets without Cooper on the field. His biggest catch was sort of this 42-yard in the second quarter, right? I think they're going to start clicking a little bit more. But again, with, you know, Amari potentially back, like, it's going to really stymie where Elijah Moore is. So, like, has Moore done enough this year to really be a guy who you'd consider adding to your best ball teams next year at all? Or what are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on the price. And I think that's the interesting question. Where does he go, and where does it make sense to draft him? Just pulling up his Stat Explorer here, you can see a lot of wide receiver 3 performances. Cleveland obviously has not had a great passing offense this season, with so many injuries. And even when Watson was playing, he didn't look great. Cooper had some good games, but yeah, I think this is definitely an encouraging stat line. You can see a scenario where if Moore continues to get these kind of targets, like if Flacco is under center for a few more games and just looks Moore's way a lot, that we get a situation emerging where Moore kind of overtakes Cooper as the wide receiver.
And it's going to happen, dude. Like Amari, I know this is like our biggest like point. I think Amari is still good at the game. He's old, but he's good at the game. AL Ball actually in the chat says Cedric Tillman has also been making noise these past few weeks.
6 targets today, 20 yards.
Yeah.
Right. Only caught 2 of those 6. It's interesting. I would love to know how they were kind of using him in this. In this game, I don't think we have the Monday review stats
Yet. I mean, I think the biggest issue, obviously, in all this, Deshaun Watson, man, the guy just doesn't look like he's ever played football. Like, this does not look like the same guy, right? Like, it looks like if the Monstar stole all of his talent. This is what you left with, which I mean, like. Like, it just, it, I mean, it is what it is. But, like, you know, the reason we're discussing these unsexy guys is because, you know, it's really difficult to draft a guy full of the super sexy ones. And then you have to figure out which of these guys you want to have on your roster. Like, who has upside? Like, I feel like Elijah Moore is still a guy who does have some form of upside.
Exactly. He hasn't been necessarily that efficient this year.
No, he has not. I mean, how much of that do you place blame on Deshaun Watson? Right. Although Amari's been pretty, I mean, Amari is just, he's kind of the same guy, no matter who's throwing the ball.
Yeah, Amari Cooper, I mean, to your point, he's been good pretty much every season. I'm always a little bit of a hater, but he does actually perform well. And now my computer is being
Does. I mean, he.
Except for this season, as you can see, 1.9 below.
How much of that is him? How much of that is him, and how much of that was like the Deshaun Watson shit?
Well, right. I think that's the point, is that playing with a Deshaun Watson who doesn't seem to be 100% and Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who's the other guy they started? I can't even remember. Flacco.
PJ Walker.
Yeah, that's right. So I think that there is definitely something to be said for, you know, when you look at how Moore's performing, not all of that is on him. And today was a pretty, well, I don't know about encouraging, only caught 4 of 12 passes, but to get 83 yards is pretty good. So, yeah, I like Moore. I don't think he's going to be that expensive in drafts next year, so I think I'll still have some. I don't know. Would you be out if he were like an 8th rounder?
On Amari or Elijah Moore?
Moore.
I'm way out on it, man.
Yeah. Depends who the quarterback is, I guess, of course. But
yeah, it's just...
I mean, it's going to be Watson, but...
Yeah, but like we still... Like, he's still a guy who I think has upside. You know what I mean? Like Elijah Moore. And that's where like I think as much fun it is as it is, it's just such a eat your vegetables steak. It doesn't necessarily make for good radio, but it makes for strategy, and that... You need to figure out where you're thinking of taking some of these unsexy guys or even teams that feel like they're dead, you know?
Yeah, I've done...
Because this is where, like, this is where you can make stands, you know what I mean? Either that or like a bunch of mispriced rookies who are just going way too cheap. But like Puka Nacua was going just disgustingly cheap. You're always, you know, or stuff like that. But like, you still have to fill out a full roster of 18 or 20 players, right? So
yeah, yeah, right. No, I mean, I've done some research in the past on how in best ball, at least, probably people are overvaluing kind of that wide range of outcomes type of player because of how devastating it is to have a roster spot that's basically dead. You know, so guys who are, you know, the older veterans are maybe a little bit more valuable in best ball than they are in managed league. So a guy like Amari Cooper might have more value on a best ball team than you would otherwise think. One of our new writers, Jake Bose, actually did a little write-up on this concept last week too, which was pretty cool. So yeah, definitely go check that out as well. But I think that there is a case to be made for kind of still drafting these guys like Amari Cooper, even though it's kind of gross.
Yeah, it's just the nature of the beast, right? Like, we need to fill this stuff up, but we can't just go out and, like, you know, having a conversation on a dud guy, right? but you know, again, with on a game with, you know, where there wasn't a lot like to really go off. Oh, I did have a question for you, like, regarding running backs. DeAndre Swift today, he did nothing. But where would you consider taking him next year?
Oh man, that is a tough one. If you had asked me like 2 weeks ago, I would have said he's probably almost a first rounder, and probably I could get on board with that.
You can't put him in the first. Don't you think he'd be like a third? Don't you think? The first question is: does he return to the Eagles? So let's, for this thought experiment, let's assume he does return to the Eagles.
Right.
But
so I mean,
he's phenomenal, man.
He's looked really good. Still, that 14.6 PPR per game average is not quite at the level you want for a guy who is going to be a first rounder. But I think we believe he does have the upside to have like a 300 point season, right, or even more. So it's not necessarily that what he's done this year is enough to vault him into the first round, but what he's done this year is enough to show that the Eagles want to use him. He's got the talent. He probably profiles. He has the profile of a guy you could take in the first round. But obviously, it's kind of, there are a lot of kind of confounders, both with Hurts kind of taking a lot of the goal line carries, and the Eagles also not. Well, I guess today was kind of a weird game just because, you know, you lose by 30 points to the 49ers. I don't know how much we want to really read into this box.
Yeah. Score,
but
this one was, this is a tough one because like the Eagles really looked all out of sorts, right? But like you want to talk about another offense that was overdrafted this year and is going to be overdrafted next year. But, you know, it's just figuring out how to play Swift, right?
Yeah,
because he backslid. Like he started like, what, didn't he open it like 4 or 5 and then he slid all the way down?
Yeah, he was like a sixth rounder, I think, by the end of the offseason. I mean, obviously part of that is just because he's a guy that, you know, Detroit gave up to draft a first rounder over him. So I think there were legitimate questions about that. And obviously he should have been higher in terms of his talent. You know, he did get 6 targets today, even in a game that where the script was going against the Eagles. So it's good to see that they were working him into the passing game. On the other hand, Kenneth Gainwell also had 6 targets. So it's not as though he has a lock on the backfield passing work, which I think is one thing that kind of keeps him maybe out of the first round.
I wonder what happens if, like, I guess Rashad Penny is like a big question, right? If he's still around, if he's there next year, he might be an interesting guy to like snag.
I don't know. I mean, has he been active once this whole season?
I think he's been active a handful of times. He's just done nothing. It makes it difficult, right? Like, it's just one of those things that I just like. These are things that we need to actually have a, well, or at least research in the off season, I think, because I got to pull up that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pull up his contract right now.
Oh, yeah.
So it looks like he might actually be on the team next year. Nope, he's going to be a UFA.
Oh, interesting. So that changes a lot in terms of how you would value him going forward. We're seeing.
Yeah, and then some... also Swift is also going to be a UFA, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Cobra Kai speculating Swift to the Vikings, which could be interesting.
That might make sense. He does have that. Like, he does have that kind of archetype of player, right? Like, he does kind of profile a little bit like that Dalvin Cook, who people expected Madison to be type of guy. I don't know how the Vikings are going to pay him
twice a year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how the Vikings are going to pay him, though, because that's a team that's, like, in straight-up cap hell.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. So,
Swift-owned Vikings, Cobra Kai says, I'm round 5 on Swift. My question is, does Swift even last that long?
I don't think so.
I kind of am seeing Swift going in the second.
Christian Watson scored his second touchdown of the night. And of course, I forgot to put him into my roster. Yep, scored his second touchdown of the night. Of course, I forgot to put him in.
Oh, man.
Dubs. Yeah, actually, this is a question about a rookie. A rookie wide receiver has done pretty well. Jaden Reed. As of our recording, he's got 4 targets, 4 catches, 16 yards, right? Like, where does he go next year? And also Dontayvion Wicks. Like, this is like a pretty interesting young wide receiver core. Where are we taking these guys, man?
Yeah, these guys are pretty interesting. I think Reed especially has done some stuff that kind of signals he could have a much bigger role in the future. They've mm-hmm. used him not only as a receiver, but also as a runner, kind of not quite Deebo Samuel-esque, but kind of a poor man's Deebo Samuel in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of those guys are, you know, going to get more expensive than 8th round, maybe, unless they have, you know, unless they kind of explode down the stretch. But yeah, I mean, you're looking at so far this season, Jaden Reed, 500 yards and 5 touchdowns. So yeah, I guess if he can get up to close to 800, you know, actually maybe then we're talking about a really promising rookie in the kind of Josh Gordon mold that I was just discussing. So maybe I'd be happy taking him in the third then. But I, for whatever reason, I don't see the rookie receivers on the Packers getting that expensive. But I don't know. Maybe that's just kind of that's kind of a vibes take. What do you think?
No, I think you're right. I think realistically, this will be Watson and Dubs who are expensive. Maybe not as expensive as this year. And then I think Wicks is going to be really cheap. Yeah, and I think Reed and Musgrave and all those guys, like Reed is going to be the one who rises the most, but he's going to be a guy who you can reliably pull in. I think Jordan Love might actually be a target in the QB window as well.
That's kind of interesting. Would you be happy drafting Jaden Reed if he were like early 5th?
No, I would not.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, and it depends on who else is available. But
yeah, and that's like in a vacuum. It sounds rich, but like on the flip side, right? Like on the flip side, like the plus, at least the plus side is his draft capital. He's a second round draft pick, right? His profile, not exactly great, but you know, he's the only second round draft pick that they've spent at wide receiver since Christian Watson last year, and Watson was the first one since Devontae Adams. Of like, right?
That's right.
And I just don't think he was also
a 18-year-old freshman breakout, as I recall, and then had some injuries.
Then he had to transfer, right?
Right.
He transferred away from Western Michigan to Michigan State.
That's right. Yeah. So weird college career, but he was very precocious.
But his college career is tough because like he was ineligible for a year, then they played COVID shortened season, and then he like exploded.
Yeah.
Right. He definitely spent way too long in school, but the second round draft capital means he's gonna like at least get some kind of opportunity. He's probably I don't know. I have a feeling that he might just be like an 8th round guy, right?
Yeah.
Like an
8th rounder. And I'm talking myself into having 100% of him if he's going in the 8th round. So look at this. Let me pull this up real quick. This is his box score scout. Yeah, we don't have the draft pick in there yet, so I'll have to fix that. But yeah, 18.6 breakout. He had a 33% dominator as a freshman at Western Michigan, misses a year, and then transfers to Michigan State and plays three seasons where he's still pretty good from a market share perspective, but never quite well, I mean, actually, his 2021 season was pretty good. But yeah, that early breakout.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. His 2021 season was pretty good.
Right.
I don't know why he stayed. I don't know why he stayed. Can he hit the Sims?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember Cobra Kai asked, picked? Like, where does.
Do you remember what?
50. Do you want his height and weight and 40 and any of that, or just leave it?
That's in here. That's in here already.
All right. That's already in there. Sterling Shepard's a good comp. Randall Cobb's an interesting one. Christian Kirk's a really good comp.
Yeah. Manny Sanders is probably.
Manny Sanders.
In terms of what he's done in the NFL, might be like the actual.
Absolute ceiling.
Absolute ceiling, yeah. But yeah.
I don't know, man. Being a year early on like a Christian Kirk type breakout second year would be pretty sick.
That's true. I mean, when you think about a guy like Christian Kirk, though, like eighth round sounds fair. You'd never consider drafting him in like the fourth round.
Right. That's kind of what, because Cobra Kai just brought this up. Like, where is Christian Watson going? And he might earn that 4 or 5 turn again. And I think he might, right? Like, he's really come on of late. I mean, the flip side is that he missed a lot of chunk of time earlier because of an injury he suffered sustained in camp. And then, you know, again, he seems like he's still very raw, which is not a good thing to be saying about an ascendant second year player. But, you know, on the flip side, he sort of has done, you know, he's taken over like as a primary alpha wide receiver, right? Like he's as a primary target getter, right? Yeah. Like, look at this.
Right. A lot of kind of duds. This 20 points was still not quite enough. He must have been like the wide receiver 13 that week.
It was because it was close.
Right. Because normally you'd see 20 points get you into the top 12. But and then today.
Well, last week was also a fairly high scoring week. A lot of players were playing.
Right. And then today, obviously, with the two touchdowns, he'll be above that. So, yeah, I mean, Watson, if he can keep up this level of play, I think you definitely see him get fourth round again. It's kind of the same thing as what we saw last year with the mostly wide receiver three performances and then these spikes.
He had like one good month, man. Like, that's the crazy part, right? I don't know, man. I think I am going to be in on Jaden Reed, right? Like, you kind of want to be in on those guys. Like, these say second year.
You definitely want to be in on Jaden Reed. The question, I think, is at what price? And given his profile, you know, like we said, it's tough to make comparisons for him because his college career was so so kind of weird. So if he's playing well, and I mean, would you draft him ahead of Christian Watson?
No. I just don't think you have to, right?
You probably won't have to, but...
No, I think you're not going to have to draft him ahead of either Dubs or Watson.
Wow.
Like, I just don't...
Dubs, maybe I can see you would, but...
No, I can see you wanting to. I don't think you'd have to.
Yeah, maybe not. Who is Steelers QB in 2024?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're still going to give Pickett one more year, but man, I don't know where I'd be taking Pickens and Deontay, bro. Like, that's a tough one.
Abrupt change of topic, but that is something that I do want to discuss because that Pickens was probably my favorite.
Yeah, he's my favorite pick this year. Yeah, I think he's part of the reason why a lot of my teams are dead, actually.
Obviously today didn't do a whole lot. Pickett didn't play the whole game. What's the latest news on his injury?
On Pickett?
Yeah.
Oh, he's out for like 2 to 4 weeks. He's gonna, he had ankle surgery. He's probably done for the season unless they're making a playoff run.
Yeah. So, I mean, Pickens had 86 yards today, only 5 targets. Obviously, Pittsburgh, you know, they didn't throw the ball a lot, even though they were losing the entire game. So, I don't know what to make of that. Steelers call Big Dad.
This was a tough game, right? Because they had two different times the game was stopped because of really bad inclement weather. Right. At that point, what do you do? The running game was actually working against the Cardinals, and then it was working on both sides. It also got super windy. Trubisky's not very good. What do? You just sort of roll over and die. That's what the Steelers did.
Exactly. I mean, I think there's a chance. You don't see Pittsburgh drafting a quarterback and starting him right away, probably. So what really are the options if Pickett is not the guy of the future, which he certainly doesn't look like he is?
Yeah, I don't know, man. They probably need to figure it out. I think they might take a flyer on someone in the draft.
Right.
Someone in the Schiffert in the chat said mentions that Ben is pushing 350 right now. Well, they do need some linemen, so
he could help.
He could definitely be a pretty good plug and play at right guard right now.
Considering kind of the uncertainties in at the quarterback position for Pittsburgh, where do you think Pickens and Deontay go next year? I mean, Pickens was basically a fifth round pick.
I think Deontay sticks around to the fifth round, but I think Pickens only slides back just a little bit. Can't be that much.
Yeah,
it should be like a
probably
seventh. Maybe he goes in the seventh to eighth.
Maybe. I think it would be fair to have to see him slide a little bit just because we've seen kind of that he is not able to overcome a really bad quarterback situation.
Pickens? Today. Well, last week they were like focused on getting the ball to Freiermuth and Deontay. And this week they started the week by saying, we want to get Pickens the ball. We want to get him involved. And they just went out there and did that. So he actually had like all four of his catches came early.
Yeah, I'm looking at this take. No way do I take any Steelers wide receiver if Pickett is the QB. And I don't 100% disagree with that if they're going anywhere close to the prices they were. I still really like Pickens, and I think he's a really good player. And I still want to root for him and want to have shares of him, but it's going to be tough. Because, I mean, as we've seen, the quarterback play really seems to matter here.
Man, it's a tough one, right? Because that's really I really hate saying it's a tough one because it's our job to eventually figure this stuff out, or at least try to. That's kind of what we're trying to do here is figuring this out. But I think I'm still gonna take. I'll be underweight Deontay and underweight Pickens. I still want some of them in my rosters, especially. But if I'm keeping Week 17 correlation in mind, or trying to find a correlation, especially when it is with other AFC North teams, right? They play them twice. Potentially, you get a few good bring back guys. I really don't know how you build around it. I mean, Pat Freiermuth might actually hopefully be cheap, and he can become like a TE2. I doubt it, but I guess the real question is, where does Jaylen Warren go next year? How early does he go?
Right.
Because he's been starting to see almost 50-50 work with Najee, right?
For sure, yeah. And I mean, you had seasons in the past where you had Chubb going in the second and Kareem Hunt going in the fifth. So I don't think it's crazy to see Warren as outside the zero RB range even. Might be tough to get that high if the Steelers are not look like they're not going to be good. On the other hand, I think they're on track to make the playoffs still. So even after this loss.
It's right. Isn't it crazy?
It is pretty crazy. I don't know. I mean, I guess you could see Warren going in. I think he'll definitely be at least a seventh rounder, maybe even higher.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a good point. And then I wonder if Najee comes down a little bit.
Right. Right. I can definitely see that. He is more. I mean, I think he probably is in the third round.
Oh man, I don't think Najee's going to be a third rounder, bro.
You think he slips more than that?
Yeah, I think he's going to go really low.
It depends on how the touches shake out at the end of the season. Obviously, they are giving Warren more touches than I think we expected them to. If you assume Najee was going to be healthy the whole season, which he has, so that's kind of like a positive surprise for Warren. So that might be enough to move Najee down even more, but he's still, you know, basically almost double the number of carries that Warren had, and the same number of targets. So still, it's not quite a 50-50 split as much as kind of a 66-33. So I don't know if Najee moves down that much just because he's still going to look like the RB1.
Yeah, Cobra Kai makes a good point.
Mm-hmm. Is there any price at which you'd be in on Najee?
8th or 9th round. Cobra Kai makes a good point. They're the Najee and Warren are probably like going to be like the Washington RBs of this year. The market didn't know what to do with them. They go back to back. AL Paul says if Harris goes in the 3rd round, we as a community have failed. Yes, I think we want Najee to go in the 3rd because we just know the full fade. And good luck to the people good luck to the slappies. I mean, those are the kind of easy mistakes you want your opponents to be making, because this, like, we're already taking from each other's pockets here, and it's very difficult for us to win. So, you know, you might as well pray you're dealing with guys who are the rake there. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds really callous when I put it that way, but like, it's very difficult when everyone starts drafting like the same way as you guys do, because then you get shift and you shift into taking riskier or you know, creating riskier builds because everyone's drafting so efficiently. And I think that is the hardest part. Right, because at the base level, it's still a very much a peer-to-peer game, and I love thinking through the problems, but you know, we're trying to bring you guys ways to win, or at least define some form of value for you guys. So we've got a differentiated point of view, and that we can win, you know, as a community, and we need the community at large to fail to us. So it is tough. It's just really identifying those early landmines you want to be out on, man, and then just hoping you're right a little bit. Like this year, Najee was such a comfortable fade, and you know, I don't think we're gonna get that. I don't think we're gonna get that next year. I think
there's gonna be a decision, a real decision point.
A real decision, yeah.
Yeah, like I can definitely say I never even considered Najee in a draft once, probably. I mean, actually, maybe I did take him if he slipped like 2 rounds, but
right, yeah, because you don't want to be complete, especially if you're drafting. Yeah, Pitt will know what to think of Najee, if they pick up his option or not. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm like a noted Najee. I don't want to say
hater, I think everyone but, in this com- I think everyone in this community is not a fan of Najee at cost.
That's true, but I'll right? say he's actually been probably better than you think this year. Like he's,
yeah, but that's the thing. Yeah, I think
below expectation. He's playing.
No,
his FPOE is kind of right at zero. So not great, yeah, but still fine. He's breaking tackles and picking up yards after contact at a higher rate than we've ever seen in his career.
But he's not gonna win you weeks, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, that ceiling of 17.3 underdog points is not gonna get it done. And he's definitely been overshadowed by Warren, which I think is another reason why his price could fall quite a bit. And yeah, I guess my only point is it could be a difficult choice in 2024. Where, man, if he comes in and is like a 6th or 7th rounder, even. Like, does he make the zero running back watch list?
He probably does, but
that's a funny question.
But if
there's no way Sean's putting him on that list.
Yeah, no. I mean, I was just thinking from like the Josh Jacobs corollary, right? Where everyone was so overconfident, and then he crushed that price, and then this year.
That's true.
You were kind of proven right. Well, but Josh Jacobs, there's a lot of other confounding issues going on with it. But to keep it simple, right? Like we were overconfident in where we think he was going to be and what he could do. And then he crushed that. But with Jacobs this year, like we were like, we were like proven correct. Like, why do you want this guy on your roster? Right. Yeah. AL Paul, please keep Najee out of Cincy. Cincy's got their own Najee and Joe Mixon. it's all good, man. It's just so frustrating because, like the Josh Jacobs run out was so pure for everyone who just went all in on him. And like, I don't see Najee ever getting that kind of like target share. And like, you know, like it would mean that like Deontay is hurt and then Pickens is hurt and Freiermuth is hurt. And they're going to miss large swaths of the season to where you can give him a comfortable 25% plus target share. Right. I just don't ever like that is just not in like the realm of outcomes for Najee at all. So like, I think ninth round is fair.
Right. There definitely doesn't appear to be a path for him to get to the Jacobs level in terms of what Jacobs did last year.
And that's it's such an anomaly because Jacobs couldn't get there himself.
Right? Yeah, right. Right. I guess the other thing that makes it tricky is that Najee is probably not even the best running back in his own
backfield. Yeah, that's the thing.
So like even Warren. Even if he is a lot cheaper, like even if he is a seventh rounder, if you can get Warren around the same price even.
They're going to be the same price. That's the thing. You maybe
prefer him.
Yeah, I think I would prefer Warren, right? Like even in here, especially in hero RB builds, right? You just take one guy and then you just Warren.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's tough because you kind of have to assume in that case that the Steelers are going to come around to the view we have, which is that Warren is better than Najee.
They're doing it now. I mean, they're doing it now.
Well, not quite. I mean, Najee still is clearly, you know, I think it's more than 1A. I think he's the one and Warren's the two still.
Yeah, but I mean, Warren's also much smaller. Right. And this is what this goes back to what I was mentioning about like HN at the start, right? Like if the Finns want to bring in someone, it's going to be a big bodied plotter because because HN is tiny, right? Like you don't want these guys taking up garbage up the middle runs and risking them getting hurt right. Because their value comes from being this guy who can touch the ball and then be gone. I mean, that's how like CPAT made a living. That's how Mostert has made a living, right? Like there's such a rare skill set for these guys to have. I mean Tyreek Hill is by far and away the best guy at this. And so it's rare that you have other guys in the league with that kind of like speed, right? Like why wouldn't you protect them? And like it's not like the Steelers have like phenomenal. Like Deontay is not exactly fast. Muth isn't exactly fast. Pickens is that guy. And then Warren, right.
And it would
assuming the Steelers are awful again next year with Pickett playing from behind, you probably want to see him back in Warren. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Paul, like that's a really good point.
I think that's true. I agree with that, but I don't necessarily think that the Steelers think of Warren as the receiving back because they still give Harris a lot of targets. So that's, I think, the only difficulty in terms of projecting them now. You know, that said, I do think Warren is more talented and I think you should be chasing talent. And I'm going to be drafting Warren way more than Harris, might even draft him ahead of Harris if I have the option to take both. But
Schiffert says Najee on a contender would be Lenny
Pitbull. Aware of these kind of elements because, you know, Pittsburgh doesn't seem to agree with us.
Yeah, but that's a great point. I mean, from Schiffert right there where he says Najee on a contender is Lenny 2.0. Yeah, man, like. It's just so scary to think of something like that, right? Like,
oh man,
like just getting because we know the kind of style of back that he is, and if we get him in that right role, man, like I think it's very difficult to shy away from him. It's just a question of, I mean, he won't be. it goes back to what Schiffer mentioned earlier, where we're just hoping to see what the Steelers do with him. But
yeah, right.
I mean, right. Like. You know, the season is still not even over and we're trying to do these postmortems, but it's always interesting to try and at least think about these valuations that are in flux, partially because we're also going to have to be playing these guys as we go through our underdog wildcard drafts and then eventually the playoff challenges, right? So like it's important to think through what usage should look like or will look like when you know the rubber really hits the road in the playoffs here.
It's a good time for postmortems because so many of my fantasy teams are dead
or dying.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm in a hard spot because I forgot to swap out Dubs for Watson in this one league. Oh, so, man. Tough scene.
That's tough. Yeah. Good news. It looks like we are going to win our Pentagon draft. So we've got the only thing that can bury us would be like a 70-point game from Joe Mixon, which, knowing my luck.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, it's also Evan Ingram.
Yeah, Ingram. Okay, so Ingram gets 20 and Mixon puts up another 50-point game. So it's not impossible. We could still lose.
Yeah, as someone just said, Cobra Kai just asked, what percent am I advancing on DK? Mm. It's a fluctuation between 23% to 27%. So that's a wild swing out there right now. Like, it's just like every time I open up my app, it's just like, oh, I'm down and I'm up and I'm down and I'm up. And I'm like, all right, I'll just wait through it because there is a big game tomorrow night, Bengals and Jaguars.
Yeah,
I've got a good amount of Christian Kirk this year, a decent chunk of Etienne is going to be playing as well. Obviously, I have Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. So, you know, it really, really is going to be it's going to be a pretty tough week, a few weeks here for me. All we're hoping for is a week 17 sweat, right? Like, that's all the best you can hope for.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Anyone else we need to touch on? We've been talking for a while.
Yeah, and thank you everybody for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. If you're a listener only, we do recommend coming and hanging out with us sometime.
Yeah, come hang out live. You can get your take live on the air. We'll answer some questions. Not necessarily good answers, but how is my fishbowl team? It's a Sam Howell, Tagovailoa team. So that should have been better today.
So let me pull it up. We didn't discuss this, but can someone like who watched that game either tweet at me or tell me in the chat, like, what happened with Washington? Why did they turtle? Right? Because like that felt like a game that Washington was going to throw a lot on. And then, like, Miami came out and punched them in the mouth a bunch of times. And then, the Commanders just straight up turtled. Like, they did not. Yeah. Historic anomaly. Started Howell over Love and SFB. Like, we were expecting a lot more passing volume. And instead, what we got was more Brian Robinson. So, I didn't watch that game. So, if anyone can tweet at me or post it in the chat, like, I would love to know what happened. Because I think that was like the low watermark for Howell in terms of pass attempts in a very long time.
Yeah, definitely. You know, in the article I wrote this week, The Wrong Read, I was suggesting that, you know, it would make sense because Miami, number one, doesn't have a great defense against the run. And
yeah,
obviously can score really quickly. This is like the one game where it would make sense for Washington to just give the ball to Brian Robinson and waste as much clock as possible. And
but down 20?
Well, yeah.
we just want to get out of here.
It can only work for so long against Miami. I guess they forgot that part.
They also had a bunch of defensive touchdowns.
Yeah.
A tough scene for me. I faced Miami, and I guess someone had the Miami defense in a must-win game, and it's not pretty when the Miami team outscores your highest scoring player on my team. I think I'm getting completely ran, my opponent is 2x-ing me right now, and to add like insult to injury, it's the worst team in the entire league. So,
and who's to say that my strategy didn't work? If the goal was to keep the point differential down, then Blair's strategy would be sound. I mean, yeah. Maybe if they had passed more, Miami would have won by 50.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think my fishbowl team is going to make it into the next round. It was mostly Atlanta-based, and I was hoping for some big games from Howell and Tagovailoa. I think I started Drake London and benched Kyle Pitts on the one week when I should have done the opposite. I should have never started Drake London, honestly.
Dude, that's been such a tough one. Friend of the podcast, Michael Dubner, has been taking Drake London unders all season, and I think he's up quite a bit on that.
Yeah.
Next year, CJ Stroud, Patrick Mahomes, who will be drafting at a similar price. I think I'm still in on Mahomes. But because I do would expect that Houston actually addresses it. Their defense is actually pretty solid. So I do think there's going to be a snapback in terms of passing volume. We're seeing that right now with Kansas City. Part of the issue, at least with some of these elite quarterbacks, is where he's taking them, where you take them. And I think Blair and I experienced this in our FPC team with Lamar, is even though him and I even though we experienced this like crazy run out, like with Lamar, like where we picked him, we agreed he was like the right pick, the way we played it. We just had a bad run out. And it's always going to be the case with these elite guys, because you might be missing out on some of these impressive skill guys. Whereas in our ME, we waited. So we had Aaron Rodgers and we waited. And so our backups are like Howell and Purdy. And AL Paul in the chat mentions that Breece Hall run out this year. Seemed they could have been a smash with Rodgers. And yeah, we discussed that with Pat Green a couple of weeks ago. What really sucks is the thing that sucks the most is we were right. Right, we were right as a community who were all taking Breece Hall. We were 100% right, and there's nothing we can do to cash in on those Slansky bucks. Nothing. Like, there's just, we're never getting this price on Breece Hall again. He's going to be an early first next year. We cannot cash this in. Like, we're left knowing that our process was correct. The way we attacked it was appropriate. Our risk tolerance was accurate. And we still cannot cash in. It just shows you how difficult it is to win in this game and this league, but also that we have the correct process, yes. Right? And that's when people say process over results, this is kind of what they mean, is we just need to find the situations next year, and that's where we're at right now. Is we're trying to get ahead of these situations right now.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Good note to end on. So thanks again, everyone, for hanging out. It's been a lot of fun. We had a lot of good talks. I'm talking like we're done. We'll be back next week, 9 o'clock.
We're gonna be back maybe next with a week. Guest.
So yeah, thanks for hanging out. And
they're asking about Chuba. Yes, Chuba has done a phenomenal job just sort of sidelining Miles Sanders. Definitely an RB1 or no, an RB2 down the stretch. I think it's too early to decide of what's happening with the Panthers next year. And I really want to see Chuba continue doing this. But for all of us who've been taking him late, let's just enjoy this for what it is, man, which is just, again, where we were right. And unfortunately, I don't have enough Chuba on teams that matter. So all right.
Next season, over under on Chuba's ADP, we'll say like pick 60. What do you think?
Oh, man. If I under... like. By over, you mean like 61-62? Yeah. Yeah, it'd be way over, dude. I think Chuba's like a 12th rounder, 13th rounder.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Because there's an entire QB window in there, right? Like, that's where like the Chuba.
I like David's comment here.
I mean,
to do what he's done on the Panthers, that's pretty impressive. I mean, Sanders looked like a good running back last year on the Eagles, and now is one of the worst in the league. So, I mean,
the whole team is like, I mean, the interesting thing is that a lot of projection systems still aren't giving Chuba the kind of right volume that you'd expect. I just don't see projection systems moving quick enough to understand that the Panthers have decided that they need to run shorten the clock, and that's more running.
Right. Right.
It's just so weird because they paid Miles Sanders and they're not just giving him the rock.
Well, he sucks when they give it to him.
Yeah, I know. He went from the penthouse to the outhouse, but he's still in the penthouse where they paid him a ton.
Yeah, yeah. He's not hurting. Jonathan Mingo with 10 targets and 69 yards. Is that something?
No. And this entire Panthers offense right now, I mean, it sounds like genuinely the issue with the Panthers right now is it sounds like there's like two different wars happening, right? I'm interested in Mingo next year, yes. But like it really comes down to whether or not Depper is going to continue meddling, because it sounds like he's a very active owner, which again, not the worst thing in the world. It's just not necessarily what you want when you're a football team, right? And I think that like he's expecting some kind of more immediate results. I think he's the second time they fired a head coach in season, mm-hmm. right? So I think it becomes a bigger issue there. And I, you know what? Look, at the end of the day, it's his team. They can do whatever they want. We've made a lot of fun of the S2 cognition tests. I think they might actually bring in they might actually take an interesting approach to team building next year, where they might actually be patient. But you know,
yeah. We'll see. I mean, it doesn't appear that Bryce Young is the answer at quarterback. I mean, obviously, we've seen rookies struggle and turn out okay, but I don't know that we've seen many who end up being good struggle to the extent that Young is. And obviously, he doesn't have anyone to throw to, so it's not entirely on him, but there's no question he hasn't looked good. It'll be interesting to follow this team for sure. Don't draft too many fantasy players on it, though.
Yeah.
All right, for real now. Thanks again for hanging out, everyone. Hopefully you made it through this whole thing. There's some good nuggets in here, maybe. But in any case, we will talk at you next week.